The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. These freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
David Lee Roth, Las Vegas, March 21st. You want to go?
Yeah.
All right. Because we're not having a Boogie Monster Christmas party.
That's right.
Maybe we got to have it March 21st.
Easter party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diamond Dave in Vegas?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be big band Diamond Dave. What's like, that? Are they going to have like oh. You know, like, ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da, that kind of...
He used to do that, right?
He would, yeah, but I think this is just... I thought it was going to be like a fun Vegas show. I guess it's just a rock band.
Huh. Okay. So is he not fronting Van Halen any longer?
That's something I can't...
Because we saw that,
that's a bit of drama. I don't even know how to...
Yeah, it's hard to keep up
with. How to hang on with.
But yeah, man, let's do that.
If you're out there, David Lee Roth, I think there's a crew going. I think we got... Oh, gang going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, rare AM taping of the Boogie Monster, everybody.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's 11:30.
Still. It's early for us.
We're doing a thing.
Yeah, man. What's going on, dude?
It's the morning, and I thought I was going to get up. I was up. I was up at like 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. and I was going to do, I was going to go shred.
Okay.
Didn't have it in me.
No?
I don't do AM. I do not know. Like, I know it's like a Garfield mug. But I'm not good. I didn't drink or smoke or anything last night.
Uh-huh.
I went to bed by midnight,
mm-hmm.
but I took a melatonin. I gotta stop doing it. It puts you to sleep, but then you wake up all dumb.
Really?
Yeah. You ever mess with it?
Years ago. I haven't had melatonin in a while.
You go to sleep easy?
Yeah, I do.
Like you lay down, you're out?
It depends. Like some peaks and valleys.
You know, the panic of the day wash over you?
No.
Worry about your future?
Nah. I don't worry too much.
Oh. You know, I don't during the day, but at night. Oh, boy. I put it off all day, and they're like, whoa, you're going to go to sleep? What if, everybody you know is going to die, and your relationships will end? And what if nobody thinks you're funny anymore? Oh, fuck, cool. It's 4 a.m. That's what happens to me.
Well, buddy.
I don't know if that happens to you. That happens to me.
I would like to try Ambien. I've never done that.
I did that.
That's a good time.
I did that back in the day.
Just knock you out.
Well, the whole thing was you take it and then you try to not fall asleep and you get real weird.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. But from what I remember, it is like 25 years ago. But it was like it's basically like all the effects of sleep deprivation immediately hit you.
Okay.
Once it kicks in, because you're supposed to be like, oh, you take it and then get in bed. Like, that's why they say don't operate a car.
Yeah.
Because you get real weird. We're having weird, almost hallucinations.
Really?
My buddy had all the pills and we'd take them and just sit in his basement and like fight off the effects. Yeah, we followed my one friend down the street on it when he was just pretending he was a knight and fighting all the mailboxes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a real, a semi-Don Quixote situation, if I can use that reference without having read the book myself.
Yeah. I like getting hopped up on NyQuil or something every now and then. Just deep sleep.
I love it's weird enough to say like when I'm sick, but I'm like, I'm about to get fucked up mm-hmm. on some NyQuil and just sit on the couch like, ooh, everything's silly and fun. And your head's already sinusy and shitty and weird.
Remember that old SNL sketch with Chris Farley, Hibernol?
No.
It's a commercial parody. It was like NyQuil or something, but it's called Hibernol, and it makes you hibernate like a bear for months, and it shows him, instead of the little cup that you pour it into, it's like a 10-gallon cup that he drinks, and then like...
Would you do that?
Cuts to like 4 months later, he's got a beard.
Would you sleep for 4 months if you could have the other 8 months of the year?
Well, in like hypothetical or like.
You sleep a third of your life, theoretically. Anyway.
Yeah.
What if you could just get that third out of the way?
Well, I mean, you know, if I was just a hermit somewhere, if I was just a single guy, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not trying to put social obligations into it.
Yeah.
But if you could, that's what I'm saying.
If I could, yeah. Yeah, I would give that a shot. That'd
and
be
eight,
fun.
8 months of just always awake.
Ooh, now see, that might get old.
Like, you're just like, it's the middle of the night. Nobody else. I had a lot of buddies who said they were going to do this with me. But that's
not what bears do, right? Bears don't. When they hibernate in the winter, when they wake up in the spring, they're not just awake for the next 8 months.
I think they take naps, but they're like, they got to, you know, pay attention to stuff. They got to look out for their little ones. Huh. And
I never thought of that. I didn't know bears are just round the clock in the on season.
Let's look it up. Are bears awake for the rest of the year?
My just uneducated guess would be no. It just doesn't make sense. I feel like part of the reason they hibernate is because it's hard to hunt. It's hard to get food. So they get all fat, and then they sleep through the lean months.
Here we go. Ask a wildlife biologist. Bears hibernate during winter but aren't sleeping the whole time. Hibernation for bears simply means they don't need to eat or drink and rarely urinate or defecate. Bears do wake up, however, and move around inside the den. It's kind of like it's kind of like your dog sleeping. So it's like tending to its close items, but it's not out living.
Yeah, they don't leave the house.
That's going to be somebody's new. That's going to be one of these dipshit weight loss things. Sleep away the fat. What do you mean? You go to bed for like a week. You don't eat anything. You don't drink anything.
Yeah.
We freeze you for a week. We'll freeze you for a week at a time. As far as what the future is moving towards, plastic surgery is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the weird biohacking.
What do you mean?
Like just give me like a saw for an arm and shit.
Huh.
Like I'm kind of looking. I mean, it's scary, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah. What would you get?
I don't need anything for myself, but maybe I just get like, I might get that Andy Warhol Snap-on hair. I might do that.
I still think you should get a toupee.
I might.
Get you a George Costanza rug.
But if it's like I've said it before, if it's like a lady gets fake boobs and it's like, those are fake. She's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I wanted them.
Yeah.
Then okay.
You should totally.
I'm so fascinated with dudes with hair plugs. Because I can't tell if I can't tell, but I think probably I'm too far gone. Everybody would know, but I'd be like, good job on you for preserving it while you had it. But as we I don't know what would happen if I had good hair into my late 20s and 30s.
What do you mean?
When you start. Well, be fucking swimming in that fucking trim, bro. But you're attached to the idea that like I'm a person with hair.
Okay.
And then it starts falling out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize like I never had hair.
Yeah.
So it's not. It's more like I look at pictures like beard's gray now. Like whatever.
Yeah. You had hair at some point.
But I always cut it off.
Oh,
I never had. Yeah, short. I had stupid hairstyles, and then I just started shaving it because I'm like, this is all dumb anyway.
What was the longest your hair ever was? Like what age and what style?
I had some rocking mullets in the late 80s.
Really?
Yeah, I had some real filthy, filthy mops back there.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever did the mullet.
Unemployed in the front, and nobody came to the party in the rear. Real shitbag crawling around Stratford Square Mall with my Bad Boy Club t-shirt, my Life's a Beach shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you were something back then.
I was not much anything, man. I was pretty good dirt bagging, I'll say. You know, the whole BMX scene, skateboarders were always had some style.
Mm-hmm.
And a BMX guy, BMX thing, it was like part skateboarding, but then part like white trash motocross.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like the skateboarders always had style, and they were cool looking, and if they listened to music, it was like cool, interesting stuff. And they were kind of like, a lot of them like kind of like next to the art scene.
Yeah.
And the BMX freestyle guys were still next to the BMX scene, which was still just a sport.
Uh-huh.
It was still a family sport,
yeah,
and a sport where you Ride Dirty. I was watching some Todd Lyons video of him where he's like looking at old footage. He's like, oh, I threw an elbow into him here and I did that. Still. That's like our pal Jared Harris who talks about, he's like, yeah, dudes would get mad because he would always race in his, like, his grandmother's dresses and stuff, and they would get freaked out by it because he never took it seriously.
Yeah.
And he's good. He's a really good bike rider.
Yeah.
But he said, he's like, yeah, I'd always put my grandma's dress on or something to ride around just to, like, be weird and people couldn't handle it. Like, that's awesome.
That dude.
Especially back then where it's not even silly times. Like, everybody's like, they're full racing leathers and they're sponsors and trying to look as slick and as cool as possible and to just be a bonkers.
And where he was doing it in Georgia.
Oh, yeah, and then the South. I mean, it was, like, mostly a rural. It's not a city sport.
Yeah.
You know?
Skaters, going back to them, I always thought they had, like, a cool gracefulness to them. You know, because that sport, like, you got to
have a style
the balance and the, you know, the flow to it. So, and a lot of the skaters I knew kind of carried that over off the board, you know, just like, ah, you can just tell.
Yeah.
They just had, like, a real subtle, cool swag to them.
Swagger, yeah. You know? Yeah, they were kind of, they were chill.
Yeah.
Well, some of them. Some of them were fucking lunatics. Look at old Mike Vallely videos of him just beating the shit out of people at skate spots.
Oh, yeah?
He was a dude that always just looked like a full-bore skinhead. Mm. Like, and this is just what I've seen in videos. Like, I don't know the guy personally, but he would just, there's just always videos of anybody taunting him. If it was like four guys, you just see him be like, all right. Like, just a dude, shirt off, like, yes. Like, one of those kind of guys. Yeah. Like, oh, you're aggro. You're aggro. Your skating's aggro. You're aggro.
Yeah.
You're one of these dudes that, like, I'm not going to fuck around.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I don't know how we got there.
It's all right, man.
Bears. Bears hibernating.
Hey, apropos of nothing.
Balloon. Apropos of nothing.
I watched The Departed again last night.
Oh, because you couldn't get enough of The Irishman?
It's put me on a Scorsese.
To interrupt real quick, Meth Syndicate. Do you know Meth Syndicate?
No.
Very funny on Instagram. He tries to make the dumbest shirts possible, and it's just the leprechaun from the movie The Leprechaun. It says The Irishman across
it. Nice.
I think that shirt's for sale right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He makes real funny, stupid shirts.
That's good. Man, I've seen this movie before. It's a good movie.
The what did we say? Casino, Goodfellas? What'd you watch?
The Departed.
The Departed.
Speaking of Casino, real quick, just a little shameless plug.
This one's worse than normal. This episode's more ADD than normal.
I mentioned I got my cookbook out, another shameless plug, but I've got the Sam Rothstein blueberry muffin recipe.
What is that?
Everybody gets the reference to that from Casino.
But why is...
equal amount of blueberries in each muffin. He's sitting there with Kevin Pollak, and they're having a meeting, and they're having a breakfast.
I don't know, he sounded like Bernie Sanders, but that's a very Bernie Sanders sentiment.
Yeah, yeah. And he's sitting there with Kevin Pollak. They're both having a blueberry muffin over a little meeting, and his muffin has almost no blueberries.
I remember that.
And Kevin Pollak is full with blueberries. He goes, what the fuck? It's like anything else around here. You want it done right, you got to do it yourself. And he goes back to the kitchen, talks to the chef, and goes, from now on, I want an equal amount of blueberries in each muffin.
That is... No, that's Bernie Sanders. That's a Bernie Sanders impersonation you're doing about blueberry muffins. It's way more accurate than your Casino impersonation. I'll say that right now.
And the chef's like, do you know how long that's going to take? I don't fucking care. And by the way, that chef is a big puss because it doesn't take that much longer. So,
well, as evidenced by your cookbook.
Yeah, yeah. So
anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So you watch The Departed.
Watch The Departed.
This one's a fucking mess.
Great movie, obviously. Leo's great. Jack Nicholson's great. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. If you remember the plot, all right, the plot, Leo is, he's from the wrong side of the tracks, but he wants to become a cop, so he goes through the Massachusetts State Police training school, blah, 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 graduates. And then when, you know, they go to assign him, he gets assigned to Mark Wahlberg and Estevez's dad. Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen. Yeah.
Anyway, they're like, hey, we know you're from the wrong side of the tracks. We know your family's a bunch of criminals. Why the fuck you want to be a cop? If you really want to help us, here's our plan. We're going to pretend that you committed the crime. You're going to literally go to prison for about 6 or 12 months.
Yeah, you got
to
get on the inside, yeah.
And then come out.
Spoiler alert, we're ruining The Departed for you right now if you haven't seen
anyway, it. So he's an ex-cop. And now he's in with Jack Nicholson's Irish Mafia crew. And the crew is only like four or five guys.
Yeah.
And they all know that he used to be a cop and got in trouble and went to jail and blah, blah, blah. And now he's resorted back to his wild ways. But there's only like three or four people in this crew. And the whole movie Jack Nicholson and the crew's like, we got a rat in our crew who's feeding info to the police. We don't know who it is. It's like, you know that the one out of the five men.
That was the whole point of him getting his arm broken, is proving that he wasn't a cop.
Still.
That's the whole thing, is he went far enough to get his arm broken to prove he wasn't a cop.
Still, there's five people
and
in the
crew.
And
it was another guy. And it was still another guy in the end.
But that guy wasn't in his crew.
Yeah, he was. He was in the house afterwards, and they found. That's why he found out. Did you watch the movie?
You never see that guy.
Yeah, you do with part of it.
No.
His crew's bigger than what they just show at the time.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
There's no mafioso who's just got, I got four guys. There's no criminal enterprise that has less staff than a fucking Cinnabon at rush hour.
They don't show anybody else. It's
you don't
same
have to. You assume
guys.
That there's other people doing stuff.
Okay, so you're saying there's a... Like a normal mafia, there's...
You don't walk into 31 Flavors and see three people and just assume all of 31 Flavors is run by these three people.
Well, that's okay. Then
listen,
that
Scorsese only has 4.5 hours to get the point across in his films, all right? He's only got so much time to rip off Japanese movies or wherever that story was from.
What story?
The Departed.
Oh, is that from a Japanese
movie? I think, yeah, the whole crisscross and who's on the inside.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was my promise. Like, there's five of you. You know that one of them used to be a cop, and we can't figure out who the rat is. Like, that just bothered me.
No, the whole time he was a suspect, and they broke his arm to prove that he wasn't talking. Yeah. And then he did stuff to prove that he wasn't talking to the cops by being a criminal with them. He proved his worth. That was the whole point of the movie, is he did such a good job, as he proved his... He made them realize that even though he's an ex-cop, he wasn't the guy. Just like on the other side, Matt Damon did such a good job playing ball with the cops to prove that he wasn't a rat for the... Nicholson's crew.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, here's an episode of dudes talking about dude stuff that dudes like. Big tits, yay or nay? Yay. Okay, next issue. Small tits, yay or nay? Yay. Good. Cleared it up. All tits, great. Scorsese movies ranked from good to I'd watch it again to pretty good.
Kundun, I liked it.
Couldn't. What is that?
He did some weird art house film called Kundun. And
what is it, actually in Italian? Is that what's arty about it?
I don't know. I never saw it. But in Sopranos, Christopher, Michael Imperioli's character, he's trying to get into this swanky club.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scorsese walks by. And he's like, oh, shit, that's Scorsese. And he just yells, Kundun, I liked it. Because I guess that's one of his least popular films.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another Scorsese reference.
Stick
Kyle.
With the Dago fisticuffs, Scorsese.
Oh, man. Dago is funny.
Once again, this is me going over the top as a character saying the word Dago.
Mm-hmm.
I would never say that in my regular life. I would never say it's... I would never call a Scorsese film the old WAP double cross in my regular life, but in character, that's what I would refer to his films as.
Oh, my gosh. The old WAP double cross.
We got to stop doing this in the morning.
Oh, man. Dude, I got some new news for you.
New news.
I'm moving. Again.
You got it.
I'm moving.
Well, like to your place, or is... Was old balls picking up and finding a new spot.
He told me a funny joke the other day. He goes, hey, do you know that I got one leg shorter than the others? And when he said others, I was like, what? I go, really? Which one? He goes, the middle one.
This guy sounds pretty fun.
He's pretty fun. The middle one.
So what's he doing? He's taking his mud flap out.
Nah, I didn't see any balls this week, so that's good.
Balls, they're like a bib for your dick.
Oh, God. I'm moving to Long Beach, dude.
You're moving to Long Balls.
All right, here's a question. So much.
Oh, Davy Long Balls.
So much drama in the LBC. What's the C? Long Beach, what? Long Beach City?
Long Beach City.
I never heard anybody say Long Beach City.
Snoop.
Okay. But yeah, moving to Long
Beach. Snoop and Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley, what's his name? Knowles?
Bradley Knoll.
That's
Knoll, I
Sublime?
Think. Yeah, yeah. Sublime without Rome. Romeless Sublime.
Rome.
That's the new guy that they have to say.
Oh.
It's Sublime with Rome.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh,
it's
so
like,
still
it's like when like a drink comes out. It's like now with less calories. Like yeah. They got to add that on.
Uh-huh.
And I saw it at some festival. It's Sublime, the real tiny writing with Rome. Like yeah, we know the dude didn't come back from the dead.
Yeah,
we, I didn't realize. We know that you they got a different going. Guy.
Huh? Interesting.
Of course they did. Were you going to listen to the solo projects from those burnouts?
Yeah, I was never a big Sublime guy. I know a lot of people like 40 Ounces to Freedom.
That's a great album.
Yeah. I don't hate them. It just never really grabbed hold of me.
No, I it was one of those things like I like not to do the I liked it before, but man, when you saw what the like oh, fans ruined the band on that one.
Yeah.
But early on I was like, "Oh wait, this is like not quite ska, but also you're covering Bad Religion and Descendants songs, but also Grateful Dead." So I could see how they kind of amassed this following of like, you're a punk rock dude. You're a hippie stoner dude. Mm-hmm. And we got both of you.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of what you're going to get in the LBC.
Yeah, man.
One of the few strongholds of rockabilly still left in this world.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, a lot of...
I knew Alex's Bar books a lot of those
still
acts.
A lot of pompadours and unspoken racism down in the LBC.
Okay. Right on.
So...
Right on. Maybe I'll start rocking a pompadour.
You need dry cleaned... Pendleton flannels.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Okay.
You know what you need? You need a $200 flannel shirt that says, I'm just like the working class.
Yeah. Need me a big old wallet chain?
Oh, well, that's the only place they make them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Old. I've never lived near the ocean. Very exciting.
You live near the ocean now.
No, I don't.
You're in a coastal city.
20 miles away. We're 20 miles away from the nearest ocean. Yeah. All the different
Where's
oceans?
The nearest ocean? I mean, well, the closest one.
It's like it's a Starbucks.
Closest ocean is 20 miles away.
We're an hour drive from the ocean.
That's true.
That's how far inland we are.
That's
I'm
true.
Saying I looked at some apartments that I could barely afford, but, you know, that I could see the ocean from my balcony. That'd be rad. That'd be very
You can go up the hill here and see the ocean.
Yeah.
Long Beach is cool, though. Yeah. I'm with you on it. Yeah. Can't swim there, though.
Yeah, because of the...
Let a boat run off.
Yeah.
The dock. It's the docks down there.
Makes me want to watch Gone in 60 Seconds again. They chase everybody.
One of my favorite terrible movies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's real bad.
Real bad, but like guilty pleasure. Like, it's eye candy with
those,
all the cars.
Yeah, those cars are cool and the cars do stuff. And then Fast and Furious came along. I'm like, ooh, see you later.
Yeah.
Gone in 60 Seconds. Like that. It's real bad. I'm not going to. All right.
There's one scene, I guess Nick Cage's character's named Dallas Raines.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bad guy who's supposed to steal all these cars for, they're going to kill his brother.
Yeah.
And the guy who plays this character, I think he might be the same guy from Pulp Fiction who raped Ving Rhames.
Whoa.
I think it might be that guy.
Whoa, guy.
Zed, I think. But anyway, but he goes, something, they're having the big dramatic showdown and they're about to kill each other and he goes... Something about it doesn't rain. When it doesn't rain, it pours. It's like,
yeah,
because that's your name. Get it? It's like, oh, such bad writing.
Dallas Raines is a weatherman.
Oh, really?
No, Dallas Mountain is a weatherman.
Dallas
in
Mountain.
L.A.
Huh.
I'm going to look up. They got some quality fake names in the weather.
Now that you say that, I feel like Nick Cage's character was not Dallas Raines. Let's see. This is a good pod right here.
Let's see the good ones. Who are the good ones? Dallas Raines, born as Kevin Feinstein. He's a meteorologist.
Okay, yeah, that was in my brain. Let's see. Then what does Nick Cage is? I feel like maybe it's not Dallas.
It's something Raines.
Okay, yeah.
Go to IMDb.
Yeah.
Boy, what a killer episode, everybody.
Yeah, we're crushing it. Doing good.
Here, okay, here's from SF Gate, most ridiculous weatherman names of all time. Number 5, Larry Sprinkle. Number 4, Dallas Raines. Number 3, Sam Champion. Number 2, Johnny Mountain, K-Cal. Number 1, Stormfield. God damn.
Stormfield.
Johnny Mountain. Johnny Mountain.
Oh, man.
I love it. No.
Memphis Raines. another city.
Even worse.
Rain.
Even worse.
Memphis rains. But yeah, does it rain, it pours. Oh, good wordplay, villain.
Anytime Delroy Lindo shows up in a movie, though, I'm like, all right.
Who's that?
He's the big black guy chasing him. And Timothy Oliphant was his partner.
Yes, okay.
They did not get enough. Timothy Oliphant, anything? Ah, oh, I like that dude.
Justified?
He's one of those guys that like, oh, he's in this? Oh, or like Michael Pena.
Mm-hmm.
He's one great. Of those guys. Like, if you're in something, I'm watching.
Yeah.
Because either you're serious and you're good, or you're funny, and he's real funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like him. See the one, have you seen, End of Watch, Jake Gyllenhaal? LAPD?
Possibly.
It's pretty good.
Intense.
Yeah, it's intense.
All right, well.
But yeah, moving to Long Beach. Start listening to Sublime.
Why not, man? Just go chill out down there.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, I haven't like signed the lease yet or anything, but I convinced Katie. Like, I got to get out of L.A., man. Just burn out.
And you are out of L.A. right now. Why are you rushing to get out of L.A., more out of L.A.?
Actually, I'll be closer. It's
a quicker drive. Long Beach. All right, man. Yeah. I dig it.
Yeah. Very exciting. Come down.
What's she going to do in Long Beach?
I don't know. She'll figure it out. Yeah. We both just kind of go with the flow, man. Just go with the flow. Dude.
What flow is taking you to Long Beach? Neither of you have jobs there. That's not the flow. It's the opposite of the flow. You're going against the current.
Yeah. We can both do what we do now down there.
Fucking fuck all.
Sorry, man. Oh, Jesus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What do we got to talk about, man? We're 26 minutes in.
Yeah.
Finally, it's almost noon.
Noon.
It's almost noon. Get this shit going.
Hey, man. All right. Topical Boogie Monster shit. Guess who's back?
Oh, people have been sending it to me.
Chicago Mothman making another appearance.
All right. So...
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I want it as much as anybody.
November 26, not long ago, 6:30 p.m. Trucker is back in his truck up to a bay at O'Hare Airport. I'm going to read you his exact account of the story. Quote, I was at the airport picking up a load at Nippon. I was already backed into a dock and was standing away from the truck, smoking a cigarette while they loaded my truck. I was looking towards the runways in the direction of the tunnel, and that is when I noticed something that looked like a large bird standing just outside of the fence by the parking lot. It was not hard to miss because two street lamps were nearby. It looked like a person with wings that were stretched out, flapping. It was walking away from the fence toward the open field and then began to flap its wings and disappeared.
I just think it's very convenient that we haven't heard much from the Mothman, and then NPR does a story about the Chicago Mothman on October 28th, 2019.
Really?
And then a month later, somebody has mysteriously seen him. After NPR, in their article, says, our hope is that Chicagoans will be able to keep this investigation going so that we may one day meet our winged friend and ride upon him like a luck dragon.
You think his truck driver's rocking to NPR every day?
Truck drivers listen to. I would bet that there are some truck drivers out there that are far more informed on trivialities than most people, because all they have are just hours on end to consume something by audio. Mm-hmm. So I would think that there's plenty of them out there that are a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, I'm not disparaging truck drivers. I'm just saying. That's not necessarily NPR's demographic.
But you have no idea. Like, I mean, when I had a job where it was just like I loved having a physical job where, like, I can do this thing. And obviously you got to be you know, safety's a concern. But when you know what you're doing and you can do that thing and just sit, you have to be more methodical. This is me talking out of turn because I've never driven a truck, but I think you have to be more methodical, and you do have to have your head on a swivel looking out for dickhead drivers and everything. But then you got to have something that's going to keep you engaged and awake.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably listening to some – anybody with a job where it's like hours of just doing a task that you know how to do and you have the choice. Like, I can independently learn about so many things. I love doing it on car rides.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Now with the world of podcasts and audiobooks, and NPR is going to have the stuff – they don't all have to be like right wing Yosemite Sam mud flaps, you know.
Listening to truck stop novelty CDs.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah, you get the idea what truckers are like because of what's sold at a truck stop. But yeah. I would like to see the story about, like, well, here's 20 truck drivers that are going to make you think twice about who's in the cab of that Kenworth in front of you.
I knew a guy from North Carolina, a comic, who was a by day a trucker.
Yeah,
and he would hit different cities to do comedy based on his routes.
Yeah,
he said he loved it. That's a good gig, man. Truck driving, you know. Like, if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably be a truck driver. You know, get to see the country, get paid to drive.
I would always talk to those guys when I worked in warehouses, though, and they were all. This is also why it's like, well, okay, truck drivers see stuff. Yeah, there's a little white line fever of just being. Especially when you're pushed to the limits like truck drivers are. Now I think they have devices that calculate.
Yeah, they can't drive. They can't drive. It's 585 miles a day.
Is that what it is? I thought it was like a time. I thought it was a time.
Well, and you can't. Yeah, you have to. You can't drive consecutively too long. You have to.
But those guys, I mean, when you're like, we both. I mean, you've driven across the country where it's like, well, if I get home, you can motivate yourself to stay awake past a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
Which isn't safe.
Yeah.
Now when your livelihood depends on it,
yeah,
and you're doing whatever you can to stay awake, I could see why truck drivers are like, I saw stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, well, you're sleep deprived in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We're all going to see stuff.
That's true.
So that's where I'm going with it.
Mm-hmm. This guy, though, when asked if he had seen something similar before, the witness stated that he had, in fact, seen something similar when he was a teenager back home in Mexico. This guy's probably Mexican, and
but not people. But people live there.
Yeah, that's true.
Guy hit me up on Instagram. Lives in Chile.
Chile.
This is a Boogie Monster fan.
Right on.
Said 15 years ago, him and his wife were just like, nah, fuck this, and moved to Chile. He's like, want you to come visit. The dollar's real strong because of all the unrest. I'm like, all right, man.
Got a lot of good sea bass.
Shout out to, they do have that sea bass.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chip Fritz, who hit me up on Instagram.
Chip Fritz.
If you want to do a remote from Chile.
Let's do it.
He's offered his place for us.
Nice. The witness stated that when he was a teenager, he saw a solid black winged creature that was circling an open field that he and other kids were playing soccer in. He stated it circled the field, made a long screeching noise before flying off into the surrounding forest. When asked if he had remembered the date of the sighting, he stated he did not. But a week later, there was a large earthquake in Mexico City. And it says, for the record, a magnitude 8.0 earthquake hit Mexico City September 19th of 85. Because that's another thing, okay? If you remember, we're talking about the original Mothman.
Yeah.
He would show up a day or two before natural disasters. So, this odd that this guy who saw Chicago Mothman also had a similar experience back home in Mexico.
Yeah, real weird. What a coincidence.
Yeah. But, we've talked about this a lot, but, like, let's review and refresh. What do you think it is? There's no doubt that a lot of people in Chicago in the last couple of years have seen something.
But then they did debunked it because they said that, like, a lot of the sightings and reports were all coming from the same IP address. Somebody followed all the same, like, computer with different emails off of it, to the best of my knowledge.
So
from the same source. Mm-hmm. That somebody can make different email addresses from your computer and send off, like, I saw him here, I saw him there.
Okay, so when I didn't hear about all that.
Yeah, I was like, that's the problem. You look into any of the stuff we research, and you'll find the truth, which is that it's probably not real, which is a bummer. But like, so we said it was a crane. We found a picture of a giant bird, That's so native to the area.
All the Chicago sightings, all the reports originated from emails? I think there was a lot of human beings that said, police officer, what's that? I know there was at least one case where a cop saw it, too.
Oh, yeah, because the fucking police are always
No, I'm just saying.
Honest.
The same IP
address. No offense
address.
If you're a police officer, but...
You're talking about the IP address. That implies that all the reports...
No, not all of them, but a lot of them. A lot of them. Mm-hmm. That's how things happen. Oh, I'm going to say I saw Mothman 2. Go on anything on the internet. I was there. I saw that.
Okay.
There's a documentary about the woman who claimed to be in 9/11 and joined 9/11 support groups. Yeah. And was actually very helpful to other people in the night. Like, she was a force for good.
Uh-huh.
But then people are like, you weren't there. And then she disappeared because she wasn't. Hmm. But to be a part of something, especially when it's harmless. Hmm. When you could just say, like, yeah, I saw it too. Ghost stories. People want to be a part of a thing, hmm. whether it's for prank reasons or for a sense of community. I think these are more pranks. This is Chicago. These are fucking pranksters.
Man, you gotta get it. You're just a fucking wet blanket.
If the truth is a wet blanket, get chilly, buddy.
I wanna believe in the Chicago Mothman.
I want to too.
All right, let's pretend.
I've never met him. I don't know what he sounds like. You know, I got no proof.
That's true.
I got no proof.
You're always gone when he swings by here.
Yeah.
All right. Pretend this is legit. Why Chicago? Why is this thing? What about Chicago? Is it the airport? Is it the hot dogs?
I mean, if it's migratory patterns of Mothmen.
Uh-huh. Mothmen. Oh, hold on. Someone's here.
All right, we'll go get it.
Hold on. Hello?
Dave, oh my God. Okay. Because I heard you guys are talking about... God's honest truth. God's honest truth. I started listening when you're talking about Scorsese movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. How you been, Dave? You been okay?
I'm doing good.
All right. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, Dave. Okay. So, first off, I like the... I mean, Kyle's got some real shit attitudes, and I don't like his terminology when talking about people of Italian heritage.
Uh-huh.
Because being from Chicago, yeah. I'm the Mothman. I'm the Chicago Mothman.
You got.
I take a little fame. I'm mostly New York guys.
Uh-huh.
That he does movie, but we got plenty of them the Italian fellas.
You have Italian heritage.
Got Al Capone. We got Al Capone. I got Mothman heritage. But you grow up around it, you know, and you take it on. You go, like, oh, you instead of spaghetti, you say I have a little spaghetti. You know, you start talking like him. You know, you don't say meatball, you say mutabola. Because that's how they say it in the old country, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because that's, you know why Italy's shaped like a boot? Because it kicks fucking ass. Okay, buddy? That's how that works over there.
So he's pretty much denying your existence.
I don't understand why he doesn't want to. Okay.
This Mexican drug driver saw you.
You call him Mexican drug trafficker?
No,
what'd you call him?
Because
that's racist.
No, he's from Mexico.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not a slur.
The thing there, I go by the airport. I just like watching the planes like Wayne's World, you know?
Uh-huh.
I go down there. I get off. I go down off Irving. I go down off Irving Park. I go over there. Sometimes I just, Mothman gets a little lonely.
Okay. And, do you have a preference of airports there in Chicago?
Yeah, I go to O'Hare. That's all the big international flights.
Okay,
that's where you could dream over off Irving Park.
Bigger planes.
Oh, what is that? That one's going to Hawaii. Oh, Mothman love to go to Hawaii. Mothman would love to see Honolulu.
Oh.
But, Midway, it's a lot of just in the, where'd that one go? Oh, probably that one's going to Denver. Yeah. Oh, yeah, big deal.
Yeah.
Now, Mothman wants to dream.
You got dreams.
Mothman wants to think about Paris, France.
Okay.
Mothman, what would it be like sitting on top of Eiffel Tower eating a good brulee?
Yeah? You never been abroad?
Nah, I can't. No, Dave. Who am I going to go with? You know, there's always talk about Chicago Mothman. There's no Chicago Mothwoman.
Aw.
I know, I'm all alone out there.
You never had you a nice moth lady?
No, who's going to talk to Mothman?
Oh, man.
The holidays are tough.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to spend Christmas with a person you care about. And then Mothman just want to make a nice, I don't like to make a goose because that's a little close to home. But
yeah,
a ham,
weird.
I like to make a ham.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
Like a honey-baked ham.
Oh, give me all the types of bakes.
Okay, so what are you doing this Christmas? Just alone again?
I'll probably go sit by the airport some more.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I try to stay. I don't want to freak out the truck drivers.
Yeah. What are you going to eat?
I mean, I'll probably get the, you know, what they got over there that's open on a Christmas. It's pretty sad. I think a Sizzler's open on a Christmas. Yeah. So I'll hang out behind there, see what they throw out from the salad bar.
Yeah, you don't go in and sit down.
No. No, I tried going in with a big coat one time. But they didn't like the way I was picking at the salad bar. They said I was going in there all crazy, like coming at throwing cherry tomatoes everywhere. Oh, so I didn't, you know.
You just hang out by the dumpster.
Yeah, I go and maybe I get the little mustard chole.
The what?
Mustard chole.
What's that?
Mustard chole.
I don't know. I still know what that is.
It's a noodle.
Oh, okay. Mustard chole?
Yeah.
Never heard
of it. Oh, Dave, you never had the mustard chole. Dave, you got your little cookbook.
Yeah. Oh, you heard about my cookbook?
Yeah. Oh, I look at the recipes. I use my big winged arms to flip through it. I go, even though it's an e-book, I flip through it. I meant scroll. I have an iPad, but it's hard because I got the talons instead of fingers, and that doesn't read
just
on an iPad.
Scratches it up.
Yeah, I'm just clicking. I just make a weird clicking sound. It bothers me too. But I like the recipe. You could try a nice mustard chole. Maybe a nice manicot.
Okay, I know manicot.
Manicot?
Yeah. I don't know
mustard chole. Nice ricotta?
Yeah.
You put a little ricotta in the manicot?
I do.
That's a little more French than it was the Italian. I'd love to go there too, though, because to see where all the Scorsese's come from.
Yeah.
And where all the Michaels and the Paulies come from in the movies.
And the Tonys.
Yeah,
the
those Paulies. Guys. Yeah. Oh, I love all they have so many cousins. My Mothman just wants a cousin's house to go to on Christmas.
Mothman just looking for connections.
Mothman, I go hang out with the geese in the park, but they know something's up.
Yeah.
They got no love for me. Anyway, I just want to come by and say sorry to the Mexican fella that I scared over by O'Hare.
Okay.
I was just trying to daydream.
Yeah, I understand.
I was trying to think. Where do you want to go forever, Dave?
Where are
we? Like for vacations.
Vacation or forever?
Yeah. Do you want to go to... Where do you want to go to? You want to see Rome?
Yeah, I'd like to go see Rome. I'd like to go to Italy.
Do you want to go see a pyramid?
Yeah, I would love to see the pyramids.
All right.
Do you know anything about the pyramids?
No, just...
Because, you know, you kind of have folklore around you.
Mothman?
I feel like you might be in tune to...
Mothman is folklore?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, people make keychains and shit for me.
You're a legend.
Oh, well, Mothman blushing over here, Dave. Yeah. Okay, too much for me. I got to go. You embarrass me. I got to get out of here, Dave.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Get a mustard chole.
Mustard chole.
Get a nice mustard chole noodle.
Okay.
Try it. Tell Kyle I say hi. I can't believe I keep missing him.
He's in the pisser.
Okay. Take a big long pee.
Yeah, he pees a long time.
He holds up all that coffee and water.
Got a huge bladder.
Yeah, just a real slow trickle.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You get a pill for that. Okay, Dave, I see you later. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you, Mothman. And there he goes, flying away. Kyle, get back in here. You just fucking missed him.
What did
Kyle.
What did I miss?
You missed the Mothman again.
I heard a half-hearted attempt at an accent out here. Was that? Did I miss the Mothman?
he was a little down today. He's lonely.
He seems depressed lately.
Yeah, well, he's lonely.
Why is he lonely?
Well, he's a freak of nature. No one wants to be around him.
Oh my God, that's mean.
Well, it's hard for him to connect.
If he's from nature, then it's not. There's nothing freakish.
Well,
if nature created him.
Yeah, he's unique.
Yeah. What are the Mothman's parents?
That's a good question.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's like a falcon and a guy.
A falcon and a guy.
You know, I love that show. The Falcon and the Guy. It was right on after Jake and the Fat Man.
What was that when the Falcon and the Guy?
That's not real.
No, there was something about a falcon, right?
There's an Avenger that has a bird, I think.
Thinking about the Maltese Falcon. That's a movie.
What's Maltese? I always thought it was candy.
That's
when my dad would like, Maltese Falcon's on. I was always thinking like chocolate Maltese.
What is
falcon.
A Maltese?
The chocolate Maltese Falcon.
Hmm.
It's an all blackface remake of a Humphrey Bogart.
Maltese is a dog breed.
Oh, we said some horror. This is a bad episode.
It's not good. It's not good. We're winding down for the year.
Yeah, boy, are we.
We're like, the last week at work before Christmas vacation.
It's been the last week at work since we started this thing.
We can get into a topic if
you
want.
We got 15 minutes. Let's talk about a topic.
Okay.
Let me shoot down some bullshit real quick. Get honest. Whatever.
Oh, my God. We've got our formula down pat. I wanted to talk to you about Janasqua. You ever heard of the Janasqua? Janasqua. I'm surprised I haven't.
She's
done
on
one
the real world, I think.
Subspecies of the of my beloved Sasquatch. Primarily,
there's a subspecies of Sasquatch.
Oh, there's many subspecies. We've talked about that.
Sasquatch be fucking.
You got the Florida skunk ape.
Sasquatch fucking everything out there.
You got the
forest.
Yowie. You got the Yeti. You got the Almaste.
Where's this one from?
This one
has a specific address. There's only one. You don't like to be bothered.
The Janasqua is a subspecies of the Sasquatch, primarily based out of Native American folklore. Also referred to as Stone Giant Man.
How do you spell Janasqua?
Genoskwa. Janasqua. In Iroquois legend, this hairy hominid was known as Otney Yarhead. I'm not pronouncing that correctly in Native American tongue. Or Otney Yarhe. Also translates to stone giant or stone coat. The reason they talk about him being a stone giant is there's all kind of reports from Native American folklore about them encountering these 10, 12-foot giant beasts that looked like they might have been made out of stone.
Can we just admit that Native Americans smoked everything?
Well, yeah.
They smoked every plant they could, mm-hmm. and they saw some shit. Like, yeah. With all due respect... Mm-hmm. I have a feeling Native Americans were high as fuck all the time.
It's a possibility.
All the time.
But that could have been to their benefit, you know? It could have made them more in tune with nature and our earth.
All right, go on.
The reason they thought these giant beasts were made out of stone is some people think that they would get, you know, squatch are real, just they're nasty. They don't bathe.
Oh, they got like the gnarly, muddy dreads.
Well, they got the muddy dreads, and they're disgusting. But what these dudes would do, they would purposely...
Natty dreadlock!
They would roll around on stone and rocks and
Rasta
dirt.
Squatch.
And get all these stones and pebbles.
Reggae squatch!
Like chainmail.
Reggae squatch don't want to be found.
Oh, God.
Whoa, diddly diddly diddly, whoa, reggae squatch.
Have you seen Chris?
Wanna just be in the forest?
Have you seen Chris Fairbanks' new clip?
I've seen him go off any kind of reggae stuff.
So fucking funny. But he's talking about like reggae stuff. What did he say?
He's just like, lion.
Zion. It's a state park in Utah.
Oh, fucking reggae squatch is a t-shirt. Keep going. I'm reggae looking it up right now.
So, the Native Americans would get into battles with the Janasqua, and these Janasqua just beat the shit out of them. It would really kick their ass. And so Native Americans would shoot bow and arrows at them.
Of course they would.
And the Janasqua got the wise idea of if we roll around in this pile of pebbles and stones and grit and grime, it'll stick to us because we got all this gunk already on us, and it'll serve as kind of a full body armor. So you got these giant. Oh, here's another thing they would do:
Sasquatch reggae dreads, Bigfoot dreadlocks, Jamaica Rasta tank top on Amazon.
All right, the Janasqua.
Do you want this tank top, Dave?
Let me see.
Look at Sasquatch, but he's got dreads. I can't. He's got trippy sunglasses on. That's our new Boogie Monster shirt.
Get this. All right. The Janasqua, they were the...
Get it, reggae squatch.
God damn it.
Sorry.
They were the larger, more aggressive version of Bigfoot.
Oh, bumbaclot.
Listen to this, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm the idiot. Go on about this. Reggae squatch.
One of their finishing moves, if you will.
This shirt has Sasquatch with a cowboy hat and six guns.
They would twist people's heads off and decapitate them.
That's not Irie. That's not Irie at all.
Oh, my God. What does Irie mean?
One love.
God damn it.
One love, Mama Clot Squatch.
They would twist people's heads off.
Oh, no head, no cry.
Oh, my God. You're such an idiot. No
head, no cry. How'd you think I was going to respond?
Think about that. They would.
There's so much Rasta Sasquatch shit out there.
They would twist people's heads off.
How about socks?
Until they were decapitated. They would throw rocks at people. Much more aggressive, much bigger. Some of these, I was listening to a story of a guy who ran across one, said it was 13 feet tall. All right? Get this, too. They got glowing red eyes. Not eye shine. A lot of Bigfoot people see eye shine because at night they shine a flashlight on them or whatever, like certain animals. Oh, got red eyes. These were fucking red in the daytime. And Native Americans said...
Yeah, they were.
Rasta Squatch be smoking them spleefs. Me got them red eyes all day.
How did we even get to Rasta Squatch?
Bomba Clot.
Where did we even
get to? Reggae Squatch.
Oh, my God.
Rasta Squatch got them red eyes. He hungry. Gonna eat some heads. Rasta Squatch gonna feast on the dude melon.
They would eat.
Gonna suck your brains like a bowl of soup.
They'd eat human beings alive.
Yeah, they would.
They'd twist their heads off and eat them. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts?
It sure is, Dave. It sure is a crazy story.
Here's what else they did.
What else they do?
They, if they get scared,
they play that reggae.
If they get startled, if you spooked one, they would secrete a terrible odor from their armpits on purpose.
Oh,
it's like a defense mechanism.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, yeah, it's nuts. And there's different. All right, God damn it.
What did you think was going to happen?
I was going to tell you about the four different types of Sasquatch.
Oh, there's different types?
Of course there's different types.
Oh, they're not all not real?
Type 1 Bigfoot.
Type 1.
Type 1's like the Patty. Patterson-Gimlin.
You just can't have any candy. Type 2, you might lose your leg.
Type 1's the classic Sasquatch. Looks like the
Patterson-Gimlin.
Cross between a human and a mountain gorilla. Type 2... More ape-like than type 1. They reported many areas of North America, especially in the South. The type 2s are a little smaller, like Florida skunk ape would probably be like a type 2. The Genasqua would be type 3.
I found a Halloween costume. And it's a boy in a witch's hat with a witch's cape, but the witch's cape, the vampire cape, has Rasta Bigfoot playing a flying V. Look at that. Whatever that is, that's what I got from typing in Reggae Bigfoot. That's a more realistic Google search than whatever the fuck you're telling me right now.
Oh, man.
Sorry, type 3.
Type 3 is like the Genasqua. It's more of like a mandrill-human mix. Mandrill like that ape, kind of like a baboon. Looks similar to Bigfoot, but more savage and primal. So the Genasqua would be a type 3. And then type 4, more of like the Neanderthal, or the early man Bigfoot. So because wild man.
Squatch, skanking with your Bigfoot. He drop an acorn, he pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
God damn it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
What do you think of him? Come on.
No, just fuck off.
Me no fuck off. Me rugga Bigfoot. Rugga Bigfoot, nothing but chill, airy, smoke of a sweet leaf.
Mm-hmm.
I've offended everyone.
Yeah,
this episode.
There's got to be something you're doing wrong here.
No.
Right?
Mm-mm.
Was it you said that...
Reggae Squatch.
Let's talk about the Rastafarians. Aren't they all homophobic?
Well, now you want to get you can't bring that up at the end. You can't say that. The Rastafarianism is happens to have like all religions has some problematic elements.
Yeah, that's true. The same could be said for Christianity.
Yeah.
They have a problem with homosexuals as well. All right. Well, I can tell you don't give a fuck about Genasqua. even though he's pretty rad, dude. He twists people's heads off. He's 13 feet tall, and he's got fucking stones all over his body.
And sounds like if you forced a 9-year-old to make up why they came home covered in mud with an extra $300.
Yeah.
There was a monster, and it was like this, and it had red eyes.
Why red? Why always red?
I don't know.
Pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain things, you know, there's certain animals that glow and emit weird colors.
Eyes shine, yeah, but always, red eyes. Like, they always like the traditional color of evil.
Well, but like the concept of like animals being able to create light out of their eyes or anything. Like, look at a fucking lightning bug. Where's that come from? Their butts light up. How's that happen? That's not eye shine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very true.
A lot of
to
fish.
Say it that way.
A lot of things in the ocean, you know, that
can glow. Yeah. Can glow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But yeah, gnarly. Gnarly ass. He's the big troublemaker cousin of the North American Sasquatch. Taller. Got crazy fangs.
Oh, and fangs.
Crazy fangs.
Does he have claws?
Almost claw, like almost talon-like claws.
Does he have a cut-off jean jacket vest?
Yeah. Just cigarette in his ear.
They're real, real dangerous dude.
Couple tattoos.
Oh, man, that guy's got an old Pantera shirt on. Look out. We don't know what he's up to.
And I preface this the same way with all these topics. Pretend this is real and imagine seeing a 13-foot tall Bigfoot with rocks all over his body and fangs.
Can I pretend?
And he tries to twist your head off.
Can I pretend he's just listening to Peter Tosh's Legalize It when I see him?
Sure.
Legalize It. The belief in Bigfoot. We got them big feet. Hard to rock steady. Oh, rock steady.
What? Oh.
Rocks. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, I ran out of ideas. Admittedly,
you make me want to watch what's that old Steven Seagal movie where
Reggae Squatch with Steven Seagal?
He fights the Rastafarians.
It's probably just him on his cop show.
It's either Hard to Kill or Marks for Death or any other movie with three words in the title.
That was
Out for Justice, Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, Above the Law.
That was my buddy Eric Acosta. I was talking about his jokes in the last episode, but what's the two? It's a two word. Steven Seagal movie.
Under Siege?
Yeah, because he's like, all Steven Seagal movies have three words. They're Hard to Kill. I'm like, Under Siege 2.
That's funny. I love those terrible movies. But yeah, there's one where he fights, I don't know if he goes down to Jamaica. I think they're already up in America. But yeah, and he cuts one of them head off, and then one of them has a twin brother, and he thought he came back to life. I don't know.
I want to update my request to have my casket wrapped. I want it wrapped in Reggae Sasquatch.
Okay. Is that a thing you can buy?
There is something about... I love how much stuff I'm finding that was for sale on Amazon featuring Sasquatch playing a flying V with the Rasta colors on it.
Mm-hmm.
That does not continue to Sasquatch. But if you do an image search of Adonis Reggae Sasquatch, there are two items that I'm very curious about.
All right.
Anyway, Rasta Squatch, I want it to happen.
All right, I'm going to transition here since you don't care about Janosqua.
No. No, I don't.
I haven't done a recipe in a while. I got one you might like. Pickled eggs.
Fucking look at your face.
Pickled eggs, baby.
Yeah, I love them.
You can find this in volume 3 of Dave Stone's Kitchen Survival Guide. Should I do pickled eggs or should I give you my Bud Light Hush Puppies?
Don't give me your Bud Light Hush Puppies for as long as we both are alive.
Bud Light Hush Puppies.
Don't
make Hush Puppies out of beer.
I'm going to give you my Bud Light Hush Puppy.
All right.
That is the most limp dick threat I've ever heard. Literal. I'm just going to press my non-bonered penis against you.
Gross.
Get ready for the Bud Light Hush Puppy. It's Reggae Squatch with the Bud Light Hush Puppy.
Pickled eggs. All right, pickled eggs. Get you a dozen jumbo eggs. Get the good ones.
My Bud Light Hush Puppy and the pickled eggs.
Get the free range, the organic, get the good shit. 2 pounds of beets. If you got a juicer, get you 2 pounds of beets. I'm never gonna get through this. 2 pounds of beets. If you have a juicer, you're gonna juice these beets. If you don't have a juicer, don't worry about it. Just go out and get you a couple cans.
We're juicing them beets.
Get you some cans of beets. You're gonna need 2 cups of beet juice. However you get it, go out and find you 2 cups of beet juice. 3 cups of apple cider vinegar. 1 cup of white vinegar. 1/2 cup of white sugar. 3 teaspoons of salt. 1 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. 1 teaspoon of cumin. 3 whole cloves and 3 tablespoons of your favorite hot sauce. All right, here's how you do it. First, you got to boil these fuckers, right? Put the eggs in a large saucepan. Mm-hmm. Cover them with room temperature water. Bring that water to a boil. This is a mistake a lot of people make. They want to boil the water first and then add the eggs in.
No, you got
splash boiling water
.
All over the place. Go ahead and put the eggs in, add the water, then bring it to a boil over medium-high heat. Boil them for 2 minutes once it starts to boil. Then remove the saucepan from the heat. Leave the eggs in the pan, but remove it from the heat. Cover it. Let the eggs sit in the hot water for 10 minutes. Drain the eggs in a colander, peel them under cold running water, put them in a covered container.
Don't you want to put ice, like, right when they're done cooking? Do you want to put them in ice, and that keeps the yolks from turning green?
Who's giving the recipe? You want to give a recipe?
All right, hey, man. I'm just going to keep Googling reggae squatch.
Just calm down. Drain the eggs. Peel the eggs under cold running water. That's easier to help
place.
Them peel. Put them in a covered container. Put them in the fridge. All
God
right?
forbid I question the guy that thinks reggae Sasquatch is real.
All right, here's what we do now. If you are using a juicer and you got to go ahead and juice your beets. If not, just crack open a couple cans of canned beets. In a stainless steel saucepan, add the beet juice, the vinegars, the spices, all that shit. Bring it to a boil over medium-high heat. Stir it occasionally so you get all that salt and sugar and shit dissolved. Transfer that mixture into the glass or stainless steel container that you have the egg sitting in.
Have you ever Googled sexy Bigfoot?
No.
Really?
No. Sexy Bigfoot?
Yeah.
All right. Add the eggs to the container. Cover them tightly. All right. This is important. You got to refrigerate them for a week before you eat them. Because it's going to take about a week for all that shit. And if you cover these tight and refrigerate them, they'll keep for a month. So that's how you get some damn pickled-ass eggs. I love pickled eggs. So you can make that now, and you'll have them ready for your Christmas parties. And it'll be a good time. Just nothing says it's Christmas like people sitting around eating pickled eggs.
So, I love a pickled egg.
I do too, man. I fucking love them. I love them. Birthday shout-outs. Chad Long, December 23rd. Happy birthday, buddy. Chad is having a birthday, and Chad is a dude who sent me some cool swag from his band. I want to say it's the... I know your band, Chad, but I don't want to misquote it. Also, happy birthday to our buddy Bill Aldridge, December 20th. Bill's a good dude. He's the guy that gave me a knife in Chicago. Also, December 23rd, want to give a birthday shout-out to one young Kyle Kinane.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, happy birthday
coming
up,
we're coming
up,
down.
Hell yeah, man. So, yeah, some birthday shout-outs. Mm-hmm. Let me knock this out real quick. Comic of the week this week, I think maybe one of the funniest dudes on the planet, our good buddy Sean Patton.
Oh, Shawnee P got a new album out.
Shawnee P got a new album called Scuttlebutt. So if you don't know about Sean Patton, Jesus Christ. Just an absolute
see
beast.
Him live.
Sean
Go
as
see
in
him live.
S-E-A-N. So Google S-E-A-N.
Just see
Patton.
Him live.
He's a beast. So yeah, there's some birthday shout outs. There's your comic of the week.
I don't think I did thanks last week to the folks in Berkeley. I just have I wrote Beardsley and then Ben Jerky. Ben Beardsley. Ben gave me jerky and albums. His band was called The Throw Ups. He gave me some vinyls.
The Throw Ups.
Right yeah. On. That old punk rock.
Chad, I think your band is Forest Grove Outlaws. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but that's why it has been played.
Forest Grove got a lot of riff-raff out there.
Forest Grove Outlaws. So, yeah. The Throw-Ups. Man, what a great name.
Yeah.
Good times. What you plugging?
Nothing, man.
You got nothing? You got a New Year's Eve show.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
New Year's Eve in Oakland.
Cool.
I didn't realize it's Andrew Michon, very funny comic, and it's his dad owns the theater, so it's normally a movie theater. But they're doing a show there. It's me and Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero and Margaret Cho and some other people, I think.
Right on.
New Year's Eve, if you're in the Oakland area.
Good times, man.
Otherwise, when is this? When does this episode come out?
Today is the 17th of December.
No kidding.
Yeah,
almost when St. Patrick's Day. I'm looking at March in my calendar.
January 3rd, I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama. January 4th, Springdale, Arkansas. January 5th, Fort Worth, Texas. Tickets available now at dumbdavestone.com.
Did we do it?
We did it, man. Merry Christmas.
Bumba clot brabop.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.